It went straight down the middle. Then it started to...
Welcome to another edition of For the Good of the Game at Bruce Devlin. We're traveling out west to talk with today's major winner.
Yes, and a great player too. One major championship, 11 wins as a LPGA player, 6 on the tour, and it is indeed a pleasure to welcome this young lady, Mike. This is one of the youngest women we've ever interviewed, 54-year-old Pat Hurst. Thank you, Pat, for being with Mike and I. We've looked forward to this, and I hope you have some fun telling your story today.
Definitely will have a lot of fun. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Pat, so great to have you. I guess we should also mention Solheim Cup captain, multiple Solheim Cup player. We're going to get into all of that today. As you probably know, having talked a little bit about what we do with these great golfers of the past, is we're here to tell your story, and we always start right at the beginning. So we know you were born in San Leandro and probably spent much of your time in the Bay Area, but just tell us a little bit about life growing up in California.
Yeah, you know, I was born in 1969. What a great year. You know, I was here in San Leandro, which is not too far from where I reside now in Danville. It's about a half an hour away. And, you know, California has always been close to my heart, and I think I'll always be here for the rest of my life because I just love it. I am, you know, I have a brother, older brother, and my mom had come, met my dad over in Japan, and she moved here to California, not really knowing the language. My dad was in the military and the Air Force. And anyways, they got married and had us. And so he passed away when I was 2.5. So mom decided, you know, I came over to America. I was going to have a family. I'm still going to raise my family here, even though she didn't really know the language very well, but she wanted to stay here because that's the decision that she made. So it was a good decision for me, you know, and like I said, I'll always be a California girl, and I just love it here.
Yeah. So your mom was of Japanese descent. Your father was U.S. resident.
Correct.
And in the military. Mm-hmm. It had to be a tough decision for your mom back then. Young mother, I guess two mm-hmm. children, you know, having, you know, just your father passed away when you were 2. So she wasn't here all that long, and, strange place still, probably still learning the language. Had to be a real tough decision.
Yeah, I think it was, but, you know, like I said, and she was really, really close with her mom. So, it was mm-hmm. a tough decision for her to leave, but she, you know, fallen in love. And so you gotta follow that, right? Yeah. And yeah. So, but like I said, she made that. She's, you know, my mom, I think I have a lot of my mom's qualities where she's tough and she's resilient. She is going to do what she needs to do. And once she makes a decision, she sticks with it. And so, you know, again, mom passed away. I think it was in 2017, but I mean, she was the strongest woman that I've ever known. And, so she's, like I said, I think I've followed in her footsteps a little bit in that sense. And my daughter's the same way. She's a tough cookie. So, you know, these women, you don't want to fool around with us.
There you go. So your mom's name was?
Kyoko Hurst or Kyoko Bunt. She remarried later on. So.
Okay. And your father's name was?
Ezekiel Z. Hurst. So it's weird because I hardly talk about him, which is kind of, and I hardly ever talk about mom passing away. So this is a little bit different for me.
Well, I mean, as you said, you really never got to know your dad, did you?
No. You know, I actually, one time I was playing, so he was buried up in Portland because he was in the military. That was the plot that was open closest to us at the time was up in Portland. So, you know, I had mom come out when I was playing in Portland. And we actually went out to the cemetery, and you know, she didn't get to see where he was buried when that happened. Right. So it was kind of nice for just her and I to be there. My brother wasn't there, but it was nice for us to be there. And it was kind of a weird moment because once we got to his grave, taps start playing for another funeral, you know. In the cemetery. So it was kind of, you know, just like I said, this kind of stuff I don't ever talk about. I don't think I've told many people that, but it was kind of, it was nice for me to be there and mom to come and for us to go see. Right. You know, she didn't think that she would ever see that. And so that was kind of nice.
Yeah. I'll just tell you a very quick story. We were in Italy, in Florence, Italy, in 2000. And I had found out that my uncle, my oldest uncle, who was killed in World War II, was buried in the National Cemetery, the American Cemetery in Florence, right? So as a family, my wife and I, my two daughters, went to visit his gravesite. No family member had ever been to his gravesite.
Mm. Okay? Right, yeah.
The emotion that I felt approaching that tombstone was palpable, and I'm sure you experienced the same thing.
Yeah, it was, you know, like I said, I don't know. It's just a time for you to I don't know, talk and tell them your story, right? So it was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. So were your parents athletes, golfers at all?
No, mom wasn't a golfer. Dad, like I said, dad, don't know much about him because mom didn't really know the family. She knew, I think, I don't even know how many brothers and sisters he had. So don't know much about my real dad, but my stepdad is the one that plays golf. And he's the one that kind of got me into the game. And he's 88 now, still around with us. And so he used to play, oh my goodness, it was like every day. Yeah. He'd come home and he would, you know, go to the golf course. And even to this day, I play, you know, when I get out and play my skins games or what have you, some of the guys that are still playing the skins games are guys that played with him. Golf has been great, and it's such a small world, right? And so we can talk about, you know, Frank Bunn is my stepdad. We can talk about guys from, you know, 40 years ago when I was 10, 11 years old, when I would go out with him, you know, on the golf cart and drive the golf cart while he's playing, and he's playing with these kids at that time, right? And yeah. We still talk about the different guys that I play with and, you know, I saw so-and-so today. And so we just kind of get caught up and I let him know how everybody's doing.
You started at 11, right, Pat? About 11 years old when you first saw what a golf course was?
Well, I saw what a golf course was when I was probably, I don't know, let's just go back maybe a couple of years, 9 or 10 years old, when, like I said, I would ride around the golf cart with Frank and just, I love being outside, just, you know, being outdoors, and I would go look for golf balls while he was playing, and I would drive the golf cart. So that was a lot of fun when you're that age.
I'll say.
plenty of stories probably of all these kids driving golf carts and maybe getting into a little trouble.
We had some, it taught me how to drive a car. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I feel very confident driving a car.
Did you ever caddy?
No, not back then.
Yeah.
No, every now and then I'll go out and caddy for friends, but nothing. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that moment when you were asked or encouraged to pick up a club and take your first swing.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, I would go and look for golf balls all the time. And so when Frank would be out playing, and then I'd have 4 or 5 golf balls that I find, and I'd say, you know, can I hit one? You know, and so he'd let me take his golf club and hit. And that's, it kind of got me wanting to play the game, right? I was athletic at the time. And so I would just bug mom and Frank, hey, you know, I want to get lessons. And that's how basically I started the game is through that, you know, ball hawking, driving the golf cart. And so I took lessons from Gloria Armstrong, who, you know, she played on the tour back in the 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. And she helped me with my game. She taught she learned to teach the game from, I guess it was Davis Love, his dad.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, and Gloria was my instructor for a good 15 years. So, and she taught, you know, she told me all about the tour and how they would travel around in caravan and, oh my goodness, play cards and gamble and all things that I love to do.
There you go. How about golf clubs? How did we get the first golf club that was made for Pat?
Okay, first golf club. So I would, you know, there was probably 7 or 8 of us junior golfers out at this golf course in Hayward called Sky West. It's no longer around, but it was a public golf course by the Hayward Airport. And a guy, Curly, his last name was Roberson, I think it was, or Robert. It wasn't Robertson, Roberson. And Curly was an older guy who would do the club repair for the course. And so, you know, at that time, right, it was woods. Yeah. And we would have to, you know, in order for us to play, we would have to earn our keep. So we'd, you know, put grips on, you know, take the grips off, put grips on. We refinish golf clubs, got to dip it, you know, really? Got to stain it, dip it. Yeah.
Good. It's, did you do the winding on woods and
the
things
whipping?
Too?
Yeah. You got to do the whipping. Yeah. Tap it. Yeah. We had to do it all. But Curly, you know, you just had a whole bunch of extra clubs. And so I couldn't tell you what my clubs were. I know my woods, my driver and three wood were Marilyn Smith's that I refinished to burgundy color. I don't know what they originally were, but I refinished them to burgundy. You know, we had to do the etching. My brother and my cousin were really good at the etching. Yeah. And he Curly cut them down. I had a 3, 5, 7, and 9 irons and a bullseye putter. And that was, you know, and that was,
you're set.
And that was a set that he set me up with. And the golf course allowed us to, if we wanted to hit balls, we'd go down the tree line with the shag bag on the range, pick up balls. And there was, you know, it's not as busy as it is today, but we can go out and play. 1, 2, and 3 would come right back. Number 3 would come right back to the clubhouse. So in the afternoons, we'd go out and play. And I mean, it was just, that's how I got my golf clubs. And that's how I started my game.
Yeah. Were you ever able to tell Marilyn Smith that story of which would you
no.
first hit?
No, I wish wish I did, but no.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Bruce, most kids nowadays, they have no idea what owning a shag bag and having your own shag balls are and picking them up yourself, right?
Got no idea. No, no earthly idea would they have.
That's called discipline. That was discipline.
Yeah.
So you went from 11 years old to, I guess you were, 17 when you first went and played in the U.S. Girls Junior?
I was probably 16 was my first. So I played in 2, I want to say. So the second one I had won.
So you'd be 16 when you played in the first one, huh?
Correct. Yep. And I played over, you know, never really flew. I think I flew out of state when I was 15 the first time, but when I was 16, it was in Pennsylvania, and I made match play, but I can't tell you what I did after that. I guess that's that senior moments when you can't remember. but I remember playing really well the first junior. It was coming down the stretch. I was 4 under going into 17 on the second round, and I 5-putted.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I just kept missing. Oh yeah. So golf is very humbling.
did you ever 5-putt as a pro?
No. Mm-mm.
4-putt?
No.
Probably.
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 But you know what? We don't want to remember those damn things, do we?
No, we do not.
No.
I don't recall. I may have. You know what? I did. I did in Sacramento, I want to say, coming down the stretch. I think it was a 4-putt. But let's not talk about those good, good old days, right?
So 1985, that was the girls' junior at St. Clair Country Club in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. That was my first U.S. juniors.
So you came out of there and you said, well, Gloria has prepared me well. I think maybe I can play with these girls. Let's give it another go in 1986. And so what do? You go out to Peachtree Golf and Country Club.
In Marysville, California.
And get her done.
I did. I got her done. And that was a lot of fun. You know, that was the start of many good things, right? I'll tell you a weird story. So I had qualified for the USAM that year. You know, we have a qualifier. I qualified, but come Sunday, or I think whatever the final day was, it had to have been a Sunday, right? So come Sunday, a USGA official said, okay, you've qualified for the USAM. Do you still want to play? I mean, mind you, this is before I even go out. And I'm like, no, I don't want to play. So what does she do? She withdraws me out of the USAM. Ooh. So I didn't play the USAM after qualifying, which was down the road at Positampo.
Oh my.
I get there and I ended up caddying for Dina Makapani.
I'll be our
because I was not in the event. Was not in the event. So how about that? And you know, it is what it is. And I couldn't tell you who it was. At that time, I didn't know. I didn't travel much. I didn't travel. We had a great junior golf program in Northern California, and we probably had, oh my goodness, 10 to 15 of us junior girls that were really tight.
Yeah.
And I just, I didn't have to travel very much to have great competition.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's really cool, you've probably done this, you can go to Far Hills, New Jersey now to the USGA Museum and look on those championship boards and see 1986 U.S. Girls Junior Champion, Pat Hurst. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I haven't done that yet, but I do want to do that one day. But are they going to be moving to Pinehurst?
Yes.
So the World Golf Hall of Fame, which was in St. Augustine, right?
Okay.
That's the thing that's moving along with some USGA functions into a new facility in Pinehurst. The USGA Museum will continue to
stay where it was,
in Far Hills.
Okay. But
the World Golf Hall of Fame Museum will be now located in Pinehurst. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. That's good info.
Yeah. And I think that opens.
Good info.
That's going to open around the grand opening, I think, in the induction for the next class will be.
The open.
Like the Tuesday or Monday of open, the U.S. Open week.
Okay.
Next year.
Okay. So it's, it's coming up.
Yeah. So
before we know it.
Adele Moore was the lady you beat in 20 holes. What do you recall about that competition, that match?
Hear that? That's the sound of a walk-off albatross, a two on a par five to win a two-day golf tournament. That shot happened to me, 1 in 600 million odds. Since then, people call me Albie. Now, I've told this story so often, my friends can't take it. I'm pretty sure my wife, next time I tell her, she's going to leave me. So I decided to start a podcast to tell the entire world about it because it deserves it. It's the craziest shot you've never heard of. And guess what? There's tons more stories like this all around golf. And that's what our podcast is all about. Join me and my fellow degenerates, Panda and Shepherd, as we dive into them. Insane bets, crazy what-if scenarios, and all the you-had-to-be-there type moments in golf. Find us wherever you get your podcast. Did I Tell You About My Albatross?
Oh, I recall, mom wasn't there. And I recall playing the 20th hole and getting done, and someone says, who's that? You know, they were pointing to this lady. I'm like, oh, that's my mom. And you know, you're kind of riding a high, and you just got done playing 20 holes and you just don't know what just happened. Right. It was like, and I'm like, oh, that's my mom. And I just kept going. I'm like, oh, that's my mom. And you know, so I'm like, mom, what, how long have you, she was out there the whole day. Gloria had told her, you need to go. This is something big. Yeah. You know, mom was never into golf. And so, so she's like, okay, I'll go. And so thank God she came. I was driving back home. And I remember I was super tired. So I finally just pulled over, near Sacramento. I pulled over and she was behind me. So she pulls over and I said, Ma, I am just too tired to drive. So we left the car and we drove home and went back then. I don't know whether I think it was the next day or 2 days later to go pick up the car. But I was just, thank God she had come. Right. Or I don't know what I would have been, but, yeah. So that is the one thing that I remember that she said she hid behind the trees and I can just see my mom doing that. Right. Not wanting to bother. Mom was just the sweetest thing and never, you know, didn't want to bother me and just, but she wanted to be there. Sure. So that was really cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat. So, how important was it at that young of an age to learn how to win?
Yeah. You know, I didn't realize, you know, looking back, you at the time, it was, for me, it was just another tournament. I'm playing in Northern California. It's just another tournament. Like I said, we had a lot of good competition back then in junior golf it was just normal, right? The competition, because we play with the same girls every week in and week out. None of us really traveled. We, you know, it's like super expensive to travel and we didn't have the money and we didn't need to, you know, we had the really good competition. I'd say, you know, probably, I mean, I can count, you know, girl went to SC, you know, all the girls that went on full rides, SC, UCLA, Hawaii, two to Hawaii, San Jose State, two of us, TCU, you know, so, I mean, we had really good competition the girls were good. And I just, you know, didn't realize, I just felt like I was playing with the girls. And so I think growing up playing junior golf in Northern California, that kind of prepared me more than anything else in the world, more than just that one event. All right. I think just leading up to it, and playing every week in and week out.
So who would be some of the names that our listeners might recognize from
back in that day? Back then, when, you know, you're talking about the girls that went on full rides, it was Joan Pickott was really, at the time, she was, you know, qualified for everything, for the USAM, US Open, you know, since she was, it felt like since she was 14 or 15. She's no longer playing, but I grew up with Denise Philbrick, who her and I both made it out on tour the same year. She was, she actually won Q School the year that we went out. And her and I started golf at the same time at Sky West together and had Gloria as our instructor. And we were roommates in college. And so I had Denise, and now she's, you know, she's teaching. Jean Zetlitz went to UCLA. She actually ended up caddying for me at the USAM when I won. You know, we were staying together and she had lost her match. And so she started caddying for me at the end. Trying to think. There's a Dana Arnold that I used to travel with the Arnolds quite a bit. And Dana played really well last year at the U.S. Seniors. Not this year, but last year. Yeah. Mm. And her and her sister, Dana, it's Dana Ebster, but it was Dana Arnold. And then Carrie Arnold, who's now, I don't know what her last name is now, but it was Carrie Arnold. And so it's just, I mean, there was a lot of us that played and, you know, making it out on tour. Dana didn't really make it out there. Like I said, Denise did, Carrie did. Joan, I don't know what happened to Joan, how she didn't make it, because she was the one that was the one. Yeah. She was, but she didn't really make it. So there was a whole bunch of us, but a lot of us are still in golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
So you found some, pretty good players when you went to San Jose State University, right? You had some pretty good teammates there. Tell us about them.
Well, I had, I didn't play with Julie or Patty, who were the other two that were probably the names that people would know. I played with Dana Dorman, who is now the head coach at San Jose State. you know, when we won nationals again, it was Denise Philbrick, who's the girl that I grew up playing with, and Dina Makapani was on the team. Eva, there was a Henrietta Hustler was on the team from England. Yes, you gotta love that, right?
I love it.
So Henrietta was on the team, and it was, you know, again, it was right down the street from us at Stanford, so it was kind of cool. It was close to home when we won nationals, and you know, not only winning the individual part, but winning the team part, and how everyone got to experience this, the same feelings that I was experiencing at the time was a lot of fun for me, and it you know, it's close to my heart, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just everybody was all in the same boat that week.
Yeah, I think a lot of our players went if they played college, because as you can appreciate, a lot of the older ladies we've talked about, there wasn't an opportunity,
we went to
right?
college.
It was before Title IX.
Yeah.
Right.
Oftentimes their schools didn't even have a women's golf program. They might have played on the men's team.
Right.
And so, but for those that had that experience, it almost seems as though the team experience they had was even more fun than any individual success they had.
Yeah, it was the best. I mean, we had so much fun, and we got along well with the men's golf team. And I still, to this day, talk to some of the guys that played on the men's team. So it was a lot of fun. You know, I have to say, I went on the Julie Engster scholarship. So she, if you talk to her, she's going to tell you that I'm still on scholarship. So it's a pretty darn good scholarship to be on, because it's a lifetime thing. So that was, you know, something that, you know, again, I can't, what that meant to me was a lot, right? Mm-hmm. In our friendship, and even to this day, you know, we're really close. So it's been really cool. San Jose has been really good to me.
You mentioned a couple of their more famous alums, and that being Julie Engster and Patty Sheehan. I think they were together in school for overlapped a bit, and I think they probably won a championship during their time as well, didn't they?
You know what? They weren't in the NCAAs. They were, AWIA? I don't know what it was. AWIA or something like that, right?
There was different acronyms back then before it was the NCAAs. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so I don't know if they had won, but I know that San Jose won the national championship in 87. So the year, let's see, did they win in 86, 87? They won the year before I got there.
Gotcha.
And then and then we won in 89, and then we won in 92. We lost in a playoff in 91. But coach, I mean, with the three teams that he won the national championship, not one repeat player. So he obviously did something well, you know, with his recruiting. His recruiting's obviously really good.
Yeah.
I totally enjoyed playing for our coach.
Yeah. So tell us about the decision, your college decision. Were you recruited by many schools? Were you looking at different options?
Yeah. You know, I still have some letters from some of the coaches, which I don't think they were supposed to do, but they did. And I think it's still at Mom's, but I always wanted, I'm a homebody and wanted to stay at home, wanted to go to San Jose, and got that opportunity right away. So that didn't go on any recruiting trips other than San Jose, and didn't want to entertain anything else because that's what I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be here and be close to home.
Yeah. Well, you had great success there, as you mentioned, winning the team and the individual title at the NCAAs in 1989. You were first team All-American a couple of times, 89 and 90. You get the Honda Award for best collegiate golfer. Of course, you've had a pretty good success there. You play in the Women's U.S. Amateur at Pinehurst in 1989 and did pretty well in stroke play, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I did. And then lost that first round at Pinehurst. And boy, I don't cry much, but I think I did cry after that round when I was walking in. Then in 1990, I go to Canoe Brook.
Yeah.
In Plainfield, New Jersey, and get through the two qualifying rounds, at that time you call in to find out your tee times. And I call in, and when I called in Pat Hurst, at whatever I shot, and they said, oh yeah, you're at 805 against, and I can't remember the girl that I lost to the year before. Same girl.
No. Oh my, what a great story.
First round. And I can't remember who it is.
What are the odds?
Look it up.
Huh? What are the odds?
Right? And I'm thinking, no, this year. The person's on the phone is probably going, yeah, I'm looking at it right here. It's eight, whatever time it was. And I'm like, no, you don't know. I'm talking about this year.
1990.
And sure enough, yep, I played against her, got my revenge, and just kept going.
Yeah, so you remember who the medalist was in 1990?
Was it Brandy Burton or someone?
How about the girl? Yeah, how about the lady that beat Brandy in the finals the previous year?
Vicky.
Yeah, Vicky Katz.
Yeah, Vicky. So I don't know who one of them was, the medalist, and then the other one was the winner, right?
Yeah, so Vicky won in 89 over Brandy, 4-3, and you were the medalist. And then the following year, you beat Stephanie Davis 37 holes, and Vicky Katz is the medalist.
Mm. Right. Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just on the phone with her yesterday.
Well, and she had her chance because she had some success there as well, didn't she?
Yes,
won it over Brandy, and I think won it again in 92 over Annika Sorenstam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's I didn't know that. It's good knowledge.
Yeah, so.
That was during my fuzzy time, I think, when she won that second one. The first one wasn't.
What was going
on? The second one was.
What was going on during your fuzzy time?
Remember, that was the time where I put the clubs down. Right? Yeah. Is that around that time?
Yeah.
So, I totally shut out golf, as you can tell.
Yeah. Well, so junior champion, big deal. Women's amateur champion, bigger deal.
Bigger deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to play in the Espirito Santo too in 1990. Right?
I did. Mm-hmm.
And
played with Vicky.
Yeah, and you did a little traveling to get there, right? Went to
New Zealand. We did. We went to, yes, and that was a lot of fun. It was Vicky and I and Karen Noble. And that, oh my goodness, you talk about having so much fun. We, Catherine Graham, I don't know if you know who Catherine Graham is, but she was our.
The opera, I remember the opera singer, Catherine Graham.
No, that wasn't her. Catherine Graham was our captain, and she was a hoot. We had so much fun. It was a lot of fun, but we ended up going to New Zealand. A quick story where we're the U.S. team and they give us all our own room. Well, mind you, we're young, and I'm not used to staying by myself, and we meet with Catherine. We go to our rooms, put everything down, meet Catherine in her room, and she says, how is your guys' rooms? And I said, well, I'm kind of down the hallway, so I'm not used to that. I if someone has
like
another bed, I would, yes. So ended up, I think Vicky and I were in one room, Karen was in the other room, and we had the door that we can open up. So we were all, oh my goodness, we had the best time. But you should, our room was a total disaster. Disaster.
There was
clothes. Right? Three of us. Well, like three of us, because we had the connecting room. Yeah. Oh my God, we had so much fun. And played this year at the US Senior Open, Mike, where I met you.
Yeah.
And I played my practice round with Karen Noble, and we couldn't smile and talk enough about how much fun we had.
That's great. Well, that was the, for our listeners that maybe not familiar with that event, the Espirito Santo Trophy was first contested in 1964, basically the world team amateur event for women. The men's version of that, of course, was kicked off 6 years earlier. And the fellow on your screen, I'm talking about the older fellow,
the real old fella,
played in that inaugural Eisenhower Trophy at the old course in 1958.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And the Aussies beat the Americans in the playoffs.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that old guy on the screen was the medalist.
Mm. Bruce was
the
medalist.
Nice. Good job. I think Vicky was our medalist.
Yeah, I think she was. I think she won it as the individual. You were T4 with Ms. Sorenstam.
Oh, see, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, who's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And Team USA won, right?
Yeah.
I think we won by quite a bit, I think, didn't we?
Not sure by how many, but
yeah, I don't remember
sure.
by how many, but it was a victory for you guys, as it was for Australia. You mentioned going to New Zealand for this competition. There was another young fellow from New Zealand that played in that inaugural Eisenhower Trophy with Bruce on the New Zealand team.
Who would it be?
Sir Bob Charles.
Oh, got it.
63 Open champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Cool. Isn't that? Yeah. It's so much fun.
Some great, great experiences in your amateur days, particularly with the team play.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It was, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, nothing's better than playing team play in an individual sport.
Yeah. At some point, your game's developing. I assume you're still working with Gloria. And when do you start thinking about doing this for a living?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I mean, in 91, I wasn't an All-American. My senior year wasn't an All-American because I didn't play enough rounds. You know, I played in Dinosaur that year. I played a couple different events. We went over to Japan and played. And so I didn't have enough rounds to qualify for an All-American. So I missed that in 91. But, you know, it was always the next step. It was always the next step. But then I go to Q school. I had a lot of health issues from, I'd say it was a senior year in high school, all the way until I had my colon removed, my large intestine removed in probably about 10 years ago. So all the way up until, you know, so I always had some. Granted, that's probably why I wanted to stay close to home. It was comfortable.
Yeah.
But I had played some mini tour events. I missed the first Q school. Was going to go to the second Q school. I was in Monterey caddying for my husband, now husband. He was my boyfriend at the time. And I was like, you know, I love Monterey. I love being, you know, around here. What am I doing? I don't want to go to Q school. You know, why am I hating golf right now? And so that on top of, I just got done playing a mini tour event and I was, you know, I was up probably, I don't know how many, over 5 shots going into the last round and I didn't want to play because I just wasn't feeling good. And but I went and played, you know, won the event and again, then went to Monterey and I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I can, you know, and your mind is just working. And finally we get done. And I said to my husband, I said, honey, I don't know if I want to go to Q school. And he's just like, well, then don't go. If you don't want to go, don't go. And I'm like, okay. So when I got home, it was a 2-hour drive out, you know, hour and 45 minutes. And I get home and I said to Mom and Frank, I said, you know, I think I'm not going to go to Q school. And, you know, my mom's the sweetest thing. She's like, honey, if you don't want to do it, honey, don't do it. Mm. You know, she's like, it's okay. And I said, no, you don't understand. I might quit golf forever. Like, and I think it was a bigger thing to me than it was to them, right? They just want you happy as your parents. But I thought that I'd be letting them down. And I had another couple that was really close to me that kind of was really involved in my golf. And I called up Bruce and I said the same thing. I said, listen, I don't think I'm going to go to Q school. And he's a successful business guy. And he's like, you know what, honey, if you don't want to put in 100%, don't do it. I'm like, seriously, is it this easy? And so sure enough, I put my clubs down for about a year. I didn't touch a club. And Jeff went to Northridge. My husband went to Northridge. And I got a job, you know, I was looking for a job here. I didn't graduate from San Jose State. Worst decision of my life. you know, not know, you know, thinking that you've got that path of professional golf, and all of a sudden now it's not there. Next thing you know, I got a call from Bruce saying, "Hey, the teaching pro at La Quinta Country Club, Laura just got her card." And he's like, "So that her job's opening up. If you want to send in a resume." And I'm thinking, okay, seriously, I love working. Don't get me wrong. I love working, but I'm thinking teaching golf. Okay. Now I got to get back into this game. So you mail in your resume. You don't, it's not on the computer. So, so I mailed it in.
Yeah.
The head pro, Jeff, and it, you know, wasn't director of golf. It was the head pro, right? And then you had the general manager. Now you have the director of golf. So not back then, but Jeff Jackson called me and he says, "Can you come in for an interview?" Sure. You know, and I know nothing about tea. I've had the same instructor my whole life. So I go down there and I was a pretty confident, you know, girl where I can hold my own. We couldn't get anything by me. And so I go down there and felt pretty confident. And sure enough, I get this job. Now I got it. Now it's not like I'm the, an assistant. I'm the teaching pro at La Quinta Country Club.
Yeah, that's big.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? And then I also asked Jeff Jackson hey, you know, I'd love to work in the golf shop also, just to get to know everything and get to know the members better. I've always been the type that, even in college I worked, even now I'm still working. So ended up working there for 2 years and started playing, right? So one of my duties was to play Thursdays with the women. Well, here I hadn't touched a club for a year. Literally didn't touch a club. Jeff's going to school at Northridge. So what am I going to do when he's at school? We got him a job at Bighorn. So he would come down on the weekends. But what am I going to do during the week when he's not there? So I just started practicing and playing again. And I'm playing with the ladies on Thursdays. And then you start playing with the guys. And now you start gambling. And now I'm playing in you know.
Some mini tours.
Start playing in mini tours. And I ended up playing, you know, La Quinta, it's seasonal. So we were done, I don't know, April, I think would be the last month where we would all be there. And then everybody kind of goes everywhere else, starting May. And, played in some mini tour events, finished, I say top 10, my husband says top 5, the first one. And then I won the second one in a 7 or 8 hole playoff. And then I lost the third one on I think it was the second hole of a playoff, and went back to La Quinta, and Jeff Jackson says, "Hey, if you want to go to Q school, you're more than welcome to go to Q school. You always have your job." Oh, okay. And now I'm getting
Yeah.
you get the bug. And, you know, I've got the bug again, and I want to compete. And when you're competing, you just want to keep going. And so, sure enough, I went to Q school, made it through Q school, and, went out and played that first. So went out and played the first year on tour in 95, was rookie of the year. I came back to La Quinta, not worked as the teaching pro, but worked in the golf shop for $7.50 for the 3 months that I was off, because I just loved it. And I loved them, and I loved the members. I loved everybody I worked with. It was a total comfortable thing for me. And just like I said, I love being there. And now guess what? I'm back there again as an honorary member, and I'm loving it. So
that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Great club.
Thank you for listening to another episode of For the Good of the Game. And please, wherever you listen to your podcast, on Apple and Spotify, if you like what you hear, please subscribe, spread the word, and tell your friends. Until we tee it up again, for the good of the game, so long, everybody.
Whack down the fairway. It went smack down the fairway. Then it started to slice just a smidge off line. It headed for two, but it bounced off nine. My caddy says, long as you're still in the state, you're okay. Yes, it went straight down the middle, quite a way.